few weeks ago, Easter Sunday morning, I preached what I thought was a perfect Easter sermon. Now, you can imagine a sermon in a UU congregation will have different reactions from different people. That morning, I hit the trifecta. A friend of mine who's a young member of our congregation and who is struggling with her move from dismissing all of the Catholicism with which she was raised to becoming a secular humanist stood and said, "Don't you tell me what to believe." And I said, "Is that what you heard?" Later, one of the musicians in the congregation, a longtime member of the congregation, came up to me and said, "Bob, you preached a lot of good sermons here, but I think that was the best." And then, a couple of days later, I got an email. A member of the choir had said, "I thought I would hear something a little more traditional on Easter. I am not coming back." He said, "I need a religion with hope." Interesting. The classical religions, particularly Christianity and Islam, but other religions as well, seem to talk most about hope as something having to do with how we see life after death, and that is the traditional Easter message in conservative Christian churches. Our hope is that we will live a better life after we die. And that, I think, is what our choir member was looking for. Now, there is a form of Christianity that offers a hope that exists primarily at the end of time, and I'm not going to say that Christianity does that. I'm going to say there's a type of Christianity that does that. And they promise that all pain and suffering will end for the righteous. Every evildoer will be punished, every good person rewarded, and those who believe in Jesus will be sent to a place of eternal bliss and reunited with their loved ones. That's a lot of hope to wait until after death for. But to me, it's fatalistic wishful thinking, not real hope. Even more difficult, it seems, is that it's rather arbitrary, capricious, and even unfair. Does the divine really operate that way? Hitler professed belief in Jesus before he died. Even Pope Benedict, much admired, I love Pope Benedict. I think he's a wonderful, refreshing voice in the Catholic Church. But he recently issued his second papal encyclical entitled "In Hope We Are Saved," and basically reiterated the theology that I just said to you, that hope will be for those who believe in Jesus after they die. Now, most of us have a hard time accepting a religion, much less a God, that would allow Hitler into heaven while millions of good but unknowing pagans, Hindus, Native Americans, shamans are condemned to hell. The greatest thinkers of all time, including those that Hinduism considers avatars, you know who some of Hinduism's avatars are? Muhammad, Moses, Jesus, the Buddha. Even those have told us that putting an important part of our life on hold until after death is a really bad idea. Life is to be lived here and now. The true meaning of life is in the here and now. And I think that means we need to be able to find hope in the here and now, not just after we die. The Buddha once said, "The past does not exist. The future does not exist. One should concentrate the mind on the present moment." Lao Tzu said, the Tao can only be understood in the present moment. And from Jesus, in one of the Gnostic Gospels, which I believe is probably as accurate as most of the sayings we have in the four Gospels in our New Testament, learn to see what is right in front of you, then you will be able to see that which is invisible. Nothing is truly hidden. Now, I believe that Jesus taught that if we understand the self within, we will know that we are already living in God's kingdom, here and now. Again, from the Buddha, one who has lived wisely does not fear death. So from all of this, I've come to believe that hope that's based strictly on life after death is either bad theology, wishful thinking, or not real hope at all. Hope is an elusive subject. I agree with that. Paul said that there are only three things that last. You all know what they are? Some of you who were brought up as I was.
Faith, hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and love. Okay? Depending on the translation, right? Okay. There are only three things that last. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these, he said, is love. But you would think if Paul was right, and these are the only three things that last, that the great thinkers of our time in our country would think these are pretty important ideas. Now, I own a set of the great books of the Western world. I don't know if you ever have heard of them. This is a compilation of classical books from Homer to Dostoevsky. And there is a syntopicon that goes with it that identifies the biggest ideas of all time. Only one of the three is in there. Only love. It's one of the greatest ideas of all time. I agree with that. I don't have a problem with that. I preach about love more than I preach about anything else, I think. Don't I? The interesting thing is faith is relegated by these erudite men at the University of Chicago primarily to a number of subcategories. Faith relates to things about God and religion and mind and philosophy and wisdom. But faith is not a great idea. Hope is even less important. It's addressed only as subcategories under courage, emotion, habit, and virtue and vice. Not a very important idea. Okay, we can raise all the questions we want about what's going on with hope and why don't we hear people talk about it and so forth. But you know what? In everyday life, the word comes up a lot. Somebody who I don't know named Sean Latham said, my financial situation has caused me to stop dating young girls. Look, young girls, you're awesome, you're sexy, you got nice skin, but you got things in your life that I don't need, like hope. Another person who I don't know, I pick up some of this stuff off the internet, it's kind of fun. A man by the name of Adam Ferreira said, my girlfriend wants to get married. I tell you, I hope she meets somebody nice. And then there's the story of the broke artist in France who walked into a very expensive French restaurant and ordered dozens and dozens and dozens of oysters and sat there and ate them all in the hope that he would find a pearl. Now, in some ways, I would almost rather believe in hope in the way that Don Quixote believed. He fought dragons that were in fact windmills. He deified as holy a woman who was and remained a prostitute. Yet through all of his paper sticking together, sorry. Through all of his delusions and misadventures, at the end of the book, or if like me, you know the musical better than you know the book, The Man of La Mancha, we find ourselves caring about this crazy man and cheering his heroics because they speak to us in our lives. Through the eyes of Don Quixote, you see, we come to believe that in this life, in the here and now, a human being is never really defeated until our optimism is defeated, until we lose hope. As long as we have hope, we cannot be defeated. Hope, says dictionary.com, is the feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that events still turn out for the best. What gives me hope is when I realize that human beings, regardless of religion or culture or myth, regardless of how bad things get in the world, regardless of how absolutely intransigent our government seems to be at times, regardless of all of that, human beings have the power within ourselves to make things better. And that is hope. Reverend William Schultz, who was a former president of the UUA, says that he believes that hope has a 60-40 chance of changing the world. He believes in hope when he realizes that 250 years ago, virtually no reputable person would have opposed slavery, or opposed limited suffrage, or opposed the subjugation of women. And today, no reputable person would support them. And that's a reason to hope. He believes in hope because of the inspirational stories of Perez Aguirre in Uruguay and Nelson Mandela in South Africa. Schultz tells a story of women in Rwanda who told him that they need a bus. A bus in that war-torn country where tribes wouldn't even speak to each other. He said, yeah, we need a bus. We need a bus to travel between the Hutu villages and the Tutsi villages and the Pygmy villages. We need a bus with a conductor who one day is a Hutu, one day is a Tutsi, and the next day is a Pygmy. And where no one is allowed to sit next to someone else from their own tribe. We want all the conductors to be women. Regardless of what your faith is, regardless of what labels you put on your faith, I have come recently to stop calling myself a Christian UU. I'm just a UU. My roots are in Christianity, as UU's roots are in Christianity. But I'm just a UU. I'm not a Jewish UU. I'm not a Buddhist UU. I'm not an atheist UU. I'm not a Hindu. I'm a UU. And that gives me comfort. But regardless of the label you put on it, if your religion offers you hope, then use it, build on it, grow with it, and learn from it. If your religion offers you nothing in this life other than helplessness and a long, long wait, nothing other than self-hatred and despair, look for a new religion. It seems to me that the first UU principle, the belief in the inherent worth and dignity of all humans, is, among other things, a statement of hope. We believe even in the darkest soul in the universe, there is something inherently good. And that's pretty hopeful. Real hope, I think, means that we look reality in the face, we figure out how it works, and we use that information to do our best to make the world a better place to live. A lot of times in sermons, I try to wrap it all up with a nice conclusion that I want you all to buy into. Not going to happen today. I want to ask you to do something for me. Take time to think. What is hope to you? Is there a difference between wishing and hoping? Is there, within Unitarian Universalism, without an understanding of whether we agree on life after death, or whether we agree on divinity, or whether we without all of those things, is there within this covenant faith a reason to hope? Because I think there is. We have heard from Emily Dickinson. We have heard from Ise Barnwell. Thank you. We hear the voice of another poet who left us recently, Maya Angelou, who, in writing of her experience with segregation, with recovering as the descendant of slaves, a beautiful lyrical poem that ends, "I rise, I rise, I rise." And therein is hope. I'm going to close with the words of Sri Chimoy from the poet's poems that we heard earlier. "Hope abides, therefore I abide. Countless frustrations have not cowed me. I am still alive, vibrant with life. The black cloud will disappear. The morning sun will appear once again in all its supernal glory."